Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So if you would, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Dear Lord, just ask that you be with us today, that you give us a feeling of peace, also a feeling of joy, Lord, that we just are here to celebrate you and all that you've done for our lives. And Lord, that the word we hear today resonates with us and it changes our lives. That it's just not going to be just another church service where we come in and leave and we forget. But Lord, that we do more to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have some scriptures I really want to share with you guys. This morning, our set list is pretty upbeat, you're going to find. And it was built that way intentionally because of some word that God gave me this week while we were preparing. And I just want to share it with you guys. Let it just sit with you. Take it in. Allow God to do what he's going to do this morning, because I think he's got some mighty things for you. I want to start. Isaiah 44:3 says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams." Then I also want to read, just like I said, I'm just going to read these all to you. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Come on. That's victory in itself already, right there. That no matter what you go through, the waves will not sweep you. The flames, they will not burn you. Because I am God, your Savior. Whew. Okay, and then let's just, guys, and this is all just scripture. "The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." Hallelujah. And Isaiah 43:18, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Again, this is the part I read to you before, so I'm just going to read it again. "I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, and the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." I just wanted to read these scriptures over you this morning because this is your promise. That regardless of what comes against you, regardless of what happens in your life, regardless of what you're seeing happening in this moment right now, you already have victory and you already have freedom because of the Father who has made you and created you to praise him through the moments that you feel are just a struggle for you. When you feel like you're down, he will give you strength. When you feel like you are down, he will give you joy. Because The Bible, His Word, already tells you what you can stand on, which is a promise of victory, which is a promise of freedom, which is a promise of rejoicing in the moments that may seem rough, because we don't operate in this world. We operate in the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is for you. It is on your side in every single thing that you go through.
I don't know why he gave me this.
Come on, you know why. Come on, brother.
Hallelujah.
Hey, folks, this mic is for you, okay? So know that. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Becca, if you could real quickly give us that scripture again that talks about the poplar tree.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Raise a hallelujah. Will I raise a hallelujah?
It's Isaiah 44, verse 3, and it says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams."
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
In Psalms 1, it says, what delight comes to the one who follows God's ways.
Yeah, come on.
He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way. He'll be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His passion, His passion is to remain true to the word of I am.
Come on.
Meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss bearing fruit in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. There is a story, and I believe it's in Mark, where Jesus is talking to a man and he's blind. And Jesus begins to pray and talk with the man. And then he asks him, "What do you see?" And the man says, "I see men walking around like trees." And I always wondered, well, did Jesus not finish? Did he not pray hard enough? Did he not do enough? Did he not fast enough? Did he not have enough faith? What was the issue that Jesus prayed for a man and he only could see men like trees? What happened, Jesus? What happened? And I had been taught and I learned, sometimes we got to have a little more faith and we got to push a little deeper and we got to go a little more and we got to pray a little more. So I felt like, there's more to do. But as I read the scriptures, as we hear the poplar tree and we hear that our streams and rivers in the desert and in the wastelands and in the wilderness. We sometimes live in a wasteland and a wilderness when it's not raining here. But right now we're seeing rivers and streams. And it reminds me of that story of Jesus praying for this man. Why did he see men like trees? I believe now, because of the scriptures, that Jesus allowed him to see something more. He went beyond. It wasn't that he didn't give him enough. He took him further. He took him a little bit further. He took him into this place called the spirit realm. And he gave him permission to see men like trees. He gave him permission to see Psalm 1 come alive. He gave him permission to see back to what David saw when he wrote these Psalms and what Solomon wrote when he was given wisdom from God. He gave him permission to see beyond the past and beyond the future, and he saw into the spirit realm that is now. We've been taught, we've been encouraged, we've been given this churchy perspective, let's say, that we're waiting for the later, for the future, for God to come back. We're waiting for this moment somewhere out there. Jesus is coming back, and he is here, he says. He is now, and he is then. And he's the God yesterday, today, forever. He gave permission to this man to see men like trees. As Psalm 1 talks about being planted by a river that's flowing. When we're connected to that which is flowing, then we don't need to be relying on that which is falling. Because that which is falling rain is seasonal. And this scripture, I believe in this passage, it's a little bit more complete than what we've heard and what we've been taught. That we are waiting for the season of revival, that we're waiting for a season of rain. We're waiting for a season of renewal. Well, guess what? When you're planted, amen. How it says here, you're replanted by design, by the river. Then you are being sourced by that which flows. Amen. It's your roots. Not what you can catch. We're always trying to catch something. Catch fire. Catch revival. Catch the Spirit. Guess what? He's an ever-present help.
Amen. Yes. Woo!
Ever-present. Doesn't matter how you feel, he's with you. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is, he's with you. You may not feel him. He is not worried about that because he's there. You just have to be able to receive what's happening. A few weeks ago, and maybe this is why he gave me this. I was sick. I got the Rona or the COVID, whatever. And it knocked me out a little bit. But there was a moment that when I was sick, it really just got my body, and my body was in pain. Every part of me, I was just hurting. It was hard. I mean, I can't explain it except for that I was just hurting. And in that moment, I decided, beyond what I had been praying, I started to cry out because it hurt. I was like, God, it talks about in the scriptures of noises or I don't remember exactly how, but moans and groans of, you know, yearning in the spirit like that. But I won't say I was yearning in the spirit. I was just hurting in the flesh, and it hurt. And as I cried out, I was like, Lord, help me. It hurts. I don't even know what hurts. Just everything hurts. And so I told Alexa, hey, put some music on. I said, play a song for me. And as the song came on, it came to my rescue, began to play, the pain subsided, and my mind and my spirit became, I would say, connected with what the reality of the presence of God in the room. And as I stopped focusing on me and I began to recognize the reality of the presence of God in the room, the pain subsided. And when the song went off, the pain came back. So I play it again. I kept playing it again and again and again and again until I began to remain in the moment of the reality of the presence of God in the room. We can be distracted by many things, but I feel that the King is saying, if you're fascinated with me, if you're fascinated with the true love, if you're fascinated with my presence in the room currently, it's really hard to be distracted. It becomes impossible to be distracted. So if we allow ourselves to be distracted, we need to remember, hey, where is my first love? Talks about it all over the Bible about first love. But there is a reality of being fascinated with your first love and not having any time to be distracted. That right there is God's speaking to me about right now. And I hope that it brings some maybe clarity, maybe renewal in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, to know that guess what? The King is never distracted in his fascination for you. Never. He never has been. He is not, and he never will be distracted with his full fascination and his love for you. You can't disappoint him and him love you less. And you can't do everything right and be so successful that he's more proud of you. He's never more proud of you than he'll ever be than he is right now of you. He's never going to be disappointed. Now, he wants good for you, yes. And his heart breaks for you or for us when we are in trouble or when we are going through things. But he loves you. And his love is never wavering. His fascination will never change. And he'll never be distracted to not be able to be with you in every moment of every day for the rest of your life. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you because he is presently with you. Amen.
I was pretty composed until he got up. But, you know, all this kingdom talk just ignites in my spirit. And what he said was so true. We have to just learn to die to ourselves, to forget about the world. We're not of the world. We're in the kingdom. And the kingdom's here right now in us. And we just don't see it. And we don't walk in it. We get distracted. And we don't have to work for our salvation. We have to die to ourselves, give God everything we have. And then he's going to do the rest. And just like when the Israelites went into the promised land, God did all the work. They just had to believe and be obedient. And that's where I think the church is lacking now. We just don't really trust the Lord. And he is worthy to be trusted. And in Psalm, we're doing Psalm 103 in Sunday school, and he says, to remember all the benefits the Lord has given to us. And I think when we don't access those benefits, it's like a slap in his face. He died for us for that. So we just have to be more proactive and trust the Lord and walk just like he said, just walk in the Spirit, walk and let God do all the work. And it makes it life a lot easier. And I'm not there yet, but I'm striving for that. And I have so much hope. And so many Christians have fear. We shouldn't have any fear because God has our back. He really does. And he's promised to supply all of our food, everything that we need. He promised to supply us. So we don't have to worry. Don't listen to the news. It's all lies anyways. And anyways, I'm so hopeful for their future for us, for the church, because we are going back to the kingdom, into the kingdom of Eden, the Garden of Eden. And God, we're going to give God all the glory that he deserves. And the world will see that. And I'm just glad that we're part of that in this special age. So.
Okay. Is this open? Yeah, it's on. Okay. The Lord put this verse on my heart. And this verse here is in regards to our nation. Okay. Our nation is in turmoil. Our nation is in crisis. And I know, Steve, you were saying about that we're not of the world, but we are still here. Okay, we aren't of the world, but we are still in the world. So today is a day that we must not forget that today is the 21st anniversary of 9/11. Our country was ravished 21 years ago. We must not forget that as Christians, we are the power in this. We are the power in this world. And what I mean by the power is we have the power, which is to pray. We have got to, as a people, it's been on my heart in a heavy, heavy, heavy way, that we have got to pray for our nation. We have got to pray that abortion is ended. We have to pray as the church. We cannot waver. We cannot become complacent in this issue. So the Lord put this verse on my heart, is 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people, and that's us, we are his people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now this is, we are called by his name. We are the called ones. We have to, as a church, humble ourselves and pray for our land. Yes. Okay? We're talking 21 years ago. How many people still remember this day? No? How many do, lest we forget? So this is an important day to me, because 9/11 changed our country. Okay? And we just must not forget. We cannot forget. We have to pray for our nation. As a church body, pray for our country. Pray for our president. Even if our president is not doing, there's a lot of things our president is doing that is not God's will, by no means. But we still have to pray for him. We have to pray that he repent. We have to pray that he turn from his wicked ways. That our land be healed. So, Pastor, I would like you, because I would like you to pray for our nation.
Okay.
And you.
Let's stand real quick. We'll pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the nation you've given us. Father, that we're here. We thank you, though. It's a blessed land, Lord. And Lord, we see it as a blessed land. Lord, even more than that, Father God, the word, your word says that you will heal our land. Well, the fact of the matter is, Father, is that the earth is yours and you've given it to us. So that's not just the United States, Father, but it is a worldwide cry we're saying, Lord, heal our land. Heal our land. Remove wars, rumors of wars. Father God, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. We thank you and we praise you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
The praises and the songs today were just beautiful. That's my favorite thing, is praising God. And whom the Lord sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
When it comes to praises, I mean, let go. Do what you feel God is leading you to do. Yeah. We have a choice. Who are you going to serve, God or man?
Yeah.
I mean, he's come for us to praise him. That's his purpose, that we should praise him. And I have Psalms 100. It's my favorite. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Yeah. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise.
Yes.
That's what we should be doing. On, entering man. In and just praising yeah. and worshiping
Come
him.
Come on.
Be yeah. thankful for him. Are you thankful for him?
Yeah.
He died that we might have life
yeah.
and
on.
Have it more abundantly. Be thankful for him and bless his name.
Yes.
For the Lord is good. Isn't he good?
Amen.
God Hallelujah. Is good all the time. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations,
Amen.
To our children and to our children's children, and on.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, some of you that don't know how to do this, you're going to be real uncomfortable in heaven. Come on, man. You're going to say, everybody will be looking at you. Hey, what's wrong with that person?
Hey, son.
Come on, man.
Can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Come on. Praise God.
You know, past couple of days, the Lord has been impressing upon my heart. Last night, he broke my heart again, listening to a teaching, talking about Christ going to the cross, you know. And I feel like the people of God right now are going through this stretching and this
yeah.
hardship and this, everybody's being torn one way or another. But you know that there's not a moment you are alive that God doesn't see what's happening to you and knows that whatever it is that's happening to you is for his purposes.
Glory.
In
Amen.
Your life.
Amen. Praise God.
And that's Hallelujah. Hard. Sometimes we don't want to accept the hardship, but it's the valleys that make you get to the hills.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Come on, man. Come on.
So consider this time, the time that we live right now, I believe, I truly believe, we are in the last days of the last days.
Come on.
There's just too much evidence of stuff that's happening worldwide. And our brothers and sisters all over the globe are feeling the same stuff that we're feeling.
Come on.
There's a sense in here. I used to live back in Virginia 12 years ago, and a couple of years before that, God spoke to me, and he said two words. He didn't go any farther than that. He just said, get ready.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
And I really didn't know what that meant at that time. I kept questioning him. What, get ready for what, Lord?
Come on, man. Hallelujah.
Now I know.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Our God is a sovereign God, and he's not going to let you take one step that is not ordered, that is not divinely inspired.
Come on.
The thoughts in your head, the footsteps you take, the people that you see, you have purpose.
Amen. Praise
we
God.
We have purpose as the body of Christ. So step into it.
Amen.
And don't
Come
be
on.
Afraid.
Come on.
Don't be afraid.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. So, you know, the past few weeks, I've been going through a lot of stuff. First time ever we had to take our son to the emergency room because he's having trouble breathing. A lot of stuff going out of work where it's really they're asking a lot of us that they shouldn't. So, you know, it's really hard sometimes to like do the right thing, right? Especially like after I was here last Sunday, I better do what I say, right?
Yeah.
I better practice what I preach. So the thing is like, even when I was driving my son to the emergency room, I was kind of thinking, I was like, well, I know my son's going to be okay. It's like, but if there's something you need me to do, God, you need me to pray for somebody or talk to somebody, show that to me. And it kind of amazed me because like in that moment where I'm just, you know, worried about getting to the hospital, I'm also thinking these thoughts that I wouldn't have thought before. And it made me realize that I'm a much different person because of the way I had been serving God and seeking him. And I know that there's a lot of turmoil in people's lives because they're kind of like seeking out things and holding on to things that they shouldn't really be involved in. And it can even look like it's a thing that's for good. But if God hasn't asked you to do it, well, that's going to be a struggle. There's a lot of people who are upset, depressed, just trying to get through life without any kind of joy, without any kind of hope, because instead of grabbing on to what God is going to freely give you, you're struggling to get what you want. And like I said, it can even seem like it's a good godly thing. But if God hasn't ordered your steps in that direction, it's not. So I just want to remind you, and I didn't know this until just right now, just recently. One of the commands that God, or Jesus, when he was on this earth, who is also God, one of the things he said the most was, "Follow me." And the command he said the second most was this: "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses life for me will save it." And what comes before that is, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Daily. So many people wrap up their life and just themselves, but if you look at the word, it should be so much more about us together, and then also just simply doing what God has called us to do. In Romans 12, it says, "To each is given a manifestation of the gift of the Spirit." So we have this Spirit, and we're given a gift. And what is that for? Do you know what the rest of that verse says? For the common good. And it's talking about us as a body of believers together. Let me just encourage you to actually, you know, when we leave service, when we leave here, that you go home and you look at the scriptures where it says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will save it." To find out what that really means, because it will change your life. I've been a Christian for a very long time, and I told you that last Sunday, but it wasn't until I started serving God that it was different for me, that I had peace, that I had joy, that I felt like I had such a great family. That man over there, Pastor Henry, I mean, he became such a mentor to me. And it's because he was here, he was present, he was doing what God called him to do, that it affected me. And you may not think that whatever gift you have is important, but all of it is. But the more important part is the connection we can make with one another. The love that we can show to one another. So please, with whatever you do, find it what it is you're here for. Show that love that God placed in you to everybody else so that people can find God as well.
Amen. Praise God. I might be a little hot. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. In case a lot of some of you that are new here, in case you're wondering, we do, I tell you, I've been telling my brother Tommy here, and I grabbed some of the other guys out there. I'm thirsty to hear what God is saying to you guys. I want to drink from the well that you're drinking out of. Is that okay? So that's why that's why we leave this mic up here. The Holy Spirit told us to put up a mic and let folks speak. Let them speak and let the rest judge. Okay? And we want you to go ahead and speak what God is saying to you, because you never know what that word might do in the heart of somebody that's going through something. How many say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to keep you very long. Oh no, your roast is done. It's bird. So might as well just stay. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Last week I talked a little bit about the path of promotion. Not last week, the week before last. The path of promotion and how God teaches like nobody else. Job 36:22 says, "Who teaches like him? Who teaches like the Lord? Who does? God has a way of teaching us. You know what? And it's not the way the curriculums in high schools, grade schools, colleges. God has a different way of teaching. How many say amen to that? If you really know that God is in your life, you're going to find that everything you go through is a teaching thing. How many say amen? I want to know, God. I want to know what it is you're looking at and what you want to do for me. Amen? Hallelujah. Because like Abe said, and like Tommy said, and like Rosie and Steve, hey, there's a time where we have to deny ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he has planned for us to do. Is that okay? Jesus said that there are works that are in you that are wrought by God. What does that mean? It means that God has a plan for you. If you will walk with him, if you let him lead your life, he's going to take you to those things that he already wrought in you. You're going to see the things that he does through you, but for his glory. Is that cool? That's really cool. We're all on this path to promotion. How many say amen to that? Yeah, today the message is called The Walk of the Promoted. How many of you feel like you've been promoted? Anybody feel like you're promoted? I don't see any hands. I see two. I don't see. Can I tell you that the day that you gave your heart to the Lord, that day you were promoted. Is that right? Is that okay? The day that you felt that conviction of your sin and you heard that Jesus died for your sins and he washed them all away and you believed it and he rose from the dead and you believed it. Boom. You've been promoted. Woo, hallelujah. How many like promotion? I love promotion. Hallelujah. Every time God speaks to you, do you know that he promotes you? Is that right? Is that okay? His promotion comes differently. Amen. It comes through his speaking of his word into your heart. He promotes you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're talking about the path of promotion. Can you put up the power verse? Hallelujah. That's going to be Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. The word of God says this, folks. This is the promotion. This, and the Lord shall make you what? The head and not what? And not the tail. You shall be where? Above only, and you shall not be beneath. Now, this little word right next to it, it's a big word, although it's a little word. Can you go back? It says if. How many say if? Everybody say if. Look at your neighbor, say if. Now look at him, say if you. Point your finger at him. If you. Hallelujah. If that you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you to this day, to observe them and to do them. That's a power verse for today. So God wants to promote you. He wants to make you the head, not the tail. How many of you felt like you've been in the tail before? I felt like that. I felt something else was wagging me. Amen? Somebody had a hold of me, moving me all over. Hallelujah. Was wagging me. But God wants us to be the head. He created you to be above and not beneath. How many say amen to that? Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm going to take you into the book of Daniel. I've been reading the book of Daniel lately, and had a discussion. My son talked with me about some stuff, and I saw some things that he was saying, and I got so blessed. You know, the word of God says the promise is that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Is that okay? That's what the promise. In the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And I love that. I stand on that. I say, God, your word says that they're going to prophesy. They're going to know you enough that they hear your word, and they're going to speak it into the earth. Is that cool? Hallelujah. Oh, God wants you to be above, not beneath. So we're going to read this story about Daniel. How many like the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, Darius is a name that Daniel gives to the leader that's over him. Whether his name was Darius or not, I believe Daniel. I'm going to say, yeah, Daniel, I believe you. There's people that say that this story here was a fictional story and that Darius was a fictional person. Well, I'll tell you what, if there's anybody that I know that has been faithful to God, if he says his name was Darius, I'm going to say, hey, his name was Darius. How many say amen to that? It's in the Word of God that way. How many say amen? Amen. Yeah, not too many of you, but that's okay. Praise God. Praise God anyway. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6 or your phones. Just turn off your sound. But Daniel chapter 6. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing a mighty work today. And God, that you are, Father God, positioning your people to see the promise, Father, that you have told us to pray for, praying for that your kingdom would be on earth as it is in heaven. So I thank you for that, Father. Father, let us hear today things we've never heard. Let us see things we've never seen. Let us understand things that we've never understood or not gotten a hold of. But Father God, things that you desire to give us today, every heart, every person in this building, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Darius. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Darius has just taken over the kingdom. Babylon has been taken by the Medes and the Persians. If you read the story before this, there was a hand that appeared on the wall. Do you remember that? They were drinking wine out of the vessels of the house of God. And that probably wouldn't have been so bad. But then they began to praise the gods of gold, the gods of silver, the gods of clay, the god, all these different. They began to praise all these different gods, but not God. How stupid can you be? Amen? Come on, man. That's not very smart. So they began, there appeared a hand, and then it said, many tekel upharsin, many, the word, the king, his name was Belshazzar, he was not able to understand what was written on the wall. So he asked for somebody, hey, who can interpret this? His wife says, hey, remember your dad? He had this guy. How many say amen? This guy. His name was Daniel. He knows how to interpret all sorts of things. He has been found to be excellent in everything that he does. Ask Daniel. So he asked Daniel, and Daniel tells him, hey, man, you have been weighed in the balance, and you've fallen short. And then he said that he was going to lose a kingdom. You guys remember it? And that night, that king lost the kingdom that he was so much toasting the gods of gold and silver. Folks, gold and silver ain't going to do you any good. The only gold and silver that's going to do you any good is the gold and silver you find in the Word of God. And I'll tell you that right now. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in your bank account. Amen? Don't trust in anything else but the Lord. Your focus has to be on who He is, and He will show you who you are. Amen? Hallelujah. So here is Darius, and he comes in. He doesn't really know anybody. But they start talking to the guys, and they find out that Daniel is better than most of them. How many say amen? Because he's a man of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Daniel had been used to being promoted. Is that okay? He'd been used to, he interpreted the Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He told Nebuchadnezzar, hey, you're going to end up like an animal with growing feathers and out in the field. He told him, and then it certainly happened. Daniel was used to being promoted. But there's a path of promotion. How many of you know that? Sometimes because God has promoted you, sometimes, well, I've arrived, man. Nah, that's good. And we get a little heady and we get a little bit proud of ourselves, not knowing that God has set us on a path. And this path is a path to promotion. And that promotion is a walk that you need to walk in. How many say amen to that? You need to be walking in the promotion that God has given you. Is that okay? Don't ever forget the things that he's shown you. Okay, so let's go back to the story here. It says, an excellent spirit was found in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents, the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel, of course, concerning the kingdom. But they could not find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. How do you say amen? Praise God, he's a man of God. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. What a nice way to start things, right? Live forever, king. And the presidents of the king, and the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask any petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. This was a law they were making just for Daniel. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Hey, everybody's got to ask me? I'm the king. Yeah, that's a good idea, guys. It's a good idea. Little pride, amen? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, I love this part. When Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. Did this decree change Daniel at all? Not a bit. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be altered. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, everybody say that Daniel, that guy, that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. I love this. It is a proud king. If he could have gotten, oh, he does. Who does he think he is? Amen. He could have said, well, Daniel, who? But this king knew Daniel. He didn't know him for very long, but he knew him enough to know that he was the one I preferred to put over the whole realm. Oh, man. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with who? Himself. And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid it upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his place, to his palace, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Hoping, amen? Praying that Daniel would answer him. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Same language that those other guys came to him. O king, live forever. But Daniel's is more what, of an authentic, loving heart. O Daniel, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Why? Because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them with their children, their wives. The lions had mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces before ever they came to the bottom of the den. Isn't it funny how the things that you try to do that are contrary to God have such an effect on your children? Hey, what did the kids do? What did they do? They had a dad that, whatever. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. And that, folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is still to us. Is that okay? This writing that he wrote is to all people of all nations in all the earth. Amen? This is to us, too. Okay, let's look at it. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, his dominion shall be even to what? To the end. He delivers and rescues. Amen? Are you glad he delivers and rescues? I'm glad. In heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Verse 28, so Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Once again, God has promoted Daniel. Daniel was someone that they looked at, and the king said, man, you better fear his God. Amen? Isn't that cool? He put out a decree, you fear his God. He's the only God. Hallelujah. I talked about how God brings revelation to us. Daniel had a, to me, a calm demeanor. How many say amen to that? I feel that Daniel knew exactly who he was with God. And therefore, when they said, hey, you know what? Nobody can pray to anything but the king, he went home, left his windows open, and prayed just like he always prayed, because he knows his God. How many say amen? He knows who God is. He knows what God does. He knows how God justifies the righteous. He knows. He knows his God. Things have been revealed to Daniel that Daniel is the revelation that God would bring to him would promote him. I want to talk to you about three things today. The three things is promotion, maintenance, and influence. Promotion, maintenance, and influence. God is designed for you to be promoted in the earth. He wants to promote you. So when he does promote you, he wants you to hold on to the things that he's given you. So he wants you to maintain those things. Is that okay? How many of you like changing the oil in your car? How many change the oil in your car? Anybody here? No? I do. I still do. I like getting under there. It helps my back. Yeah. But maintenance, yeah, bring it over. Maintenance is something that we got to hold on to, okay? So God wants you to maintain what he's given you. How many of you have ever found a word in the Word of God, and then God maybe 6 months or something kind of forgot about it, and all of a sudden you read it again? Now, oh yeah, I remember this, God. You remember? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, I've done that before. When it happened to me a couple of times, I said, no more, God. From now on, when you give me a word, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to maintain that word. I'm going to see why it is that you're giving it to me. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about the promotion a little bit. Let's go with promotion. You cannot make any, you know, we have this idea because it's basically trained by the world. We're taught this by the world, that if we go to college, go to school, we get accomplished of what we want to be. But it doesn't work that way with the kingdom of God. How many know that? It's totally different. God teaches you in a different way. So where God wants you to be is in a position where your heart is ready to receive what God has for you so that you can be taken to where he wants to take you. Is that okay? He's building you for something. He always is. We think that because we study a lot. You know, the Word of God tells us study the Word, right? It tells us study to show yourself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. See, you've got to know the Word of truth to be able to divide it. Is that right? This is why I would tell you, hey, stay in the Word of God. Keep reading the Bible. Keep reading the Word of God. Don't let it go. Don't let a day go without you receiving something from God out of his Word. Is that okay? Are you okay with me saying that to you? Somebody, well, I read it once a week. I was talking to a friend of mine that I graduated in, and we were in Bisbee, and I asked, he goes, hey, I'd like to talk to you one of these days about religion. I said, well, I don't know anything about religion. He goes, oh, yeah, you do. I said, no. I said, man, hey, bro, I'm in a relationship with God. He goes, well, I want to talk to you about that. And I asked him, Johnny, how much of the Bible do you read? Well, I read it once in a while. Well, when was the last time you read it? I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. I said, Johnny, we can have a discussion, bro. Because some of his friends told me he thinks he really knows everything about everything. And I said, Johnny, we can have a discussion, bro. But a lot of things I'll tell you, you're not going to understand them. Unless you go to God and ask for some basic knowledge, man. Do you ever go to God and ask him for anything? He goes, no, I don't do that. That's okay. Well, hey, well, let's have a conversation and whatever. One of these days I'm going to call him up and say, let's talk. But the Word of God offers you, God gives you his Word so that you can be lifted and you can be built up. You know what? I brought this along because has anybody ever had this little New Testament that the Gideons give? Has anybody? I love this little book. Mine was orange. I kept it at the mine. I had it in my back pocket. And I walked around with it all the time at work. And I was in places where, man, that book would come out. And those words are pretty little, but I can still read it. It's almost like God saying, yeah, you're going to read it. But man, every opportunity I would take that little book out. See, I didn't know God was preparing me for something like this. I didn't know. Had no idea. But I was in a compressor room one day, and I was just looking for something to read out of it. And I found it's a little statement that the Gideons placed in there about the Bible. And I love it so much. I just love the way what it says. I want to read it to you. That'd be okay? Yeah. And here's what they wrote in it. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. decisions are unmutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is, the Bible is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. How many say amen to that? Christ is its grand subject, our good the design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart. Amen? It should guide your feet. Read it slowly. How many guys? Slowly. I remember talking to my kids in my youth group. Man, what are you in a hurry? Read it slow. It's easier to catch the words. How many say amen? Read it slow. Read it slowly. Read it frequently. Prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth. A paradise of glory. A river of pleasure. It is given you in life. It will be opened at the judgment and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. That's what the Gideons wrote about the Bible. I love it. I could read it over and over again because I especially like the part, read it slow. Prayerfully read it. Amen? Don't just skim the Bible. Don't try to be a speed reader. Okay, I got through Genesis today. Really? Yeah, how long did it take you? An hour. Genesis? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, man, you skim, don't you? No. Hey, read it and read it slow. Let that word just come into you. Amen? Let it build you. Let it strengthen you. God's word. He wants to promote you through his word. First word we look at is promotion. Revelation is promotion. Every time he gives you something, he's promoting you. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 12:12 says this. I want you to read it further. By these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. I mean, no, there's a lot of books out there. But there's only one book. Only one book you should be looking at daily. I was thinking about Tommy. We've got a tax book for our church. Tommy reads it at night. I go, what? Who reads that? Who reads stuff like that? There's some folks like that. And it's been a great help for us. How many say amen? Tommy and Rachel are our bookkeepers in the church. Tommy reads this book at night. Like, whoa. But the Word of God is the only book you need to be concerned about. Amen. If it's not in the Word, don't worry about it. Whatever you find in the Word, take that and let that build you. Amen. Because I guarantee you, God will build you. You don't need all these different books from all these different authors. You don't. You don't need these books that are made from men, that men write. I mean, that's okay. And sometimes they're a ministry. Yeah, they can be. But the only book you need is the Word of God. The only book that's going to be open, like it said, at the judgment is the Word of God. His Word. Yeah. It says there be many books that of men, there's no end of all the books. I mean, say amen. It says, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. I want you to look at that. I want you to say, man, so you can't promote yourself. There's no way you can promote yourself. You can't do it. Well, go into your job and say, hey, I'm promoting myself today. I'm the boss today. They're going to say, yeah, get out of here, boss. You ain't boss anymore. Amen. Go into your job and try that. You can't promote yourself. You really can't. But it's the Lord that will promote you. And I don't care how much you study God's word. If you'll just allow him to speak to your heart, in a way. Hey, people study the Word of God for all sorts of reasons. How do you say amen? Because they want to be able to tell somebody something or be smarter than somebody. And I mean, if that's your heart, beware. Be aware that God looks at your heart and he wants you to know the things he has for you. But it's not with a heart that's haughty. It's a heart that's humble. That's how he wants to strengthen you and build you. Hallelujah. Bible studies are cruel. I mean, I like Bible studies. Amen. I'll take a paper. I mean, I'm going to show you something. The last Bible study, which was last Wednesday night, I take down scriptures. How many of you guys take down scriptures? How many of you are taking down scriptures today? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hey, I would say write down things, especially the things that you hear that you, that, man, is something, does something to you. These are the scriptures just from Wednesday night. Brother Terry taught Wednesday night. And I tell you what, the Word of God will do something when they're placed in order. Can I say that to you? So he's trying to promote you. He wants to give you his word. Hallelujah. Yeah, see where I'm at here. Second Timothy 2:15. I want you to look at this. It says this, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing God's word. Do you know how you rightly divide it? By the truth that he gives you. That's the only way you can rightly divide God's truth, is by truth. Truth works truth. Is that okay? How many know that truth can't be changed? It's either true or it's not true, amen? It's either full throttle true. It's not like your car. You can drive it fast or slow. Truth is full throttle all the time. It doesn't slow down. It is true. It doesn't show the wisdom of men. It only declares the wisdom of God, because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The truth shows God. Is that okay? True. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about maintenance. God wants to maintain these things in you. I'm giving you a real short essay here because God is desiring that you maintain the things that he's given you. Nothing worse than we forget what God has said. Is that okay? Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. How many desire God's word? I mean, desire that. I remember when I saw Rosie, my first time I saw Rosie, there was no lustful thing. I just go, whoa, who is that? My friends told me, he goes, hey, man, she's way out of your league. Forget it. I go, what? And after that, I stalked her. I saw her in seventh grade. By the time I became a sophomore, that's when I first talked to her. But by the time I first talked to her, I knew who her brothers were. I knew where she lived. I knew the name of his sisters. I knew where her dad worked. Her dad worked close to where I was. I'd go over there and touch her car. Isn't that weird? There was desire, but it wasn't one of those sexual things. It was a desire. There's something, you know what I realized? It was God that placed that within me. It wasn't me myself. It was God placing me with something. It took me a while to convince her of that. Yeah, you're for me. No, I'm not. Yeah. I want to be, hey, can we go around? No, I want to be friends. But I had a desire. I remember when I got saved, my desire was the word of God. I would go in the word, and I still desire God to give me words. I know that God has things that are hidden from me in here. And I want to find them. And he'll take me to them if I just keep going. Just keep going. Just pushing. Allowing him to speak to me. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Desiring the word of God. Some of you might have lost your desire for God's word. And I'm going to tell you today, God wants to quicken you so that that desire comes right back. So it flares up within you. Ooh, he said that to somebody. I know. So God is saying something to somebody in here that his word, he says, I'm going to give you a desire for you, for my word, that you will not be able to quench. How many say amen to that? I don't want it to quench. I want my desire. I want that desire. Hallelujah. Isaiah 28, 9 through 12. I want the, here we go. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom will he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, drawn from the breasts. In other words, you're not a little kid anymore. Now it says this, precept must be upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. He's talking about the Spirit of God. Who's he going to teach? How's he going to teach? He's going to teach you by Spirit. He's going to go line upon line, here a line, here a little, there a little. And you're going to find that God is beginning to teach you. He's beginning to show you things. He will begin to reveal to you the things that he has for you by a little bit over here in the Bible, another one over here in the Bible, another one over here in the Bible. Another one over here. Then you realize, oh, God's saying something. God is saying something. So you begin to write down all those scriptures, and it builds this perfect picture for you. And now all of a sudden, you're looking at it, and you say, God, I get it. Boom, revelation. And it will never leave you. The Word of God says it this way, that the Holy Spirit writes these things on your heart. He writes them. Not you. It's got nothing to do with you. I mean, say amen. You know why it's got nothing to do with you? Because you died. The day you gave your heart to the Lord, you died, and Jesus became who you are. So it's not your ways anymore, it's his ways. And he's going to reveal these things to you as you desire these things. Amen. Hallelujah. This is how he's going to maintain these things in you. You'll find that everyone, I have found that something he taught me over here, it's something he has taught me over here. He taught me something else, and it brought the two together. Does you guys know what I'm talking about? It's almost like a mosaic that he's building within my heart. He showed me something here, showed me something here, showed me something here, and all of a sudden, this piece here makes them all fit together. It's incredible. And it wasn't something I could do. It was something that he, by his Spirit, does in my life. It's his way of teaching. Who can teach like him? Nobody teaches like him. Nobody. Who are you going to compare God to? There's only one God. You can't compare him to anything. Is that right? You can compare oranges. You can compare Fords and Chevys. Amen? Because you can put a Chevy here and a Ford here, and you compare them and say, yeah, I like the Chevy. Hey, you know, some of you say, no, I like the Ford. Or a Chrysler. Or a Dodge. I'm a Dodge fan now. But you can't compare God to anything. He won't be compared. He's the only one God. There's only one God. He can't be. You can't say, wow. Mm-mm. Precept must be upon precept. He wants you to influence people. Daniel chapter 6, verses 3 through 4 says this. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm, and the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. You see, he was preferred. He was an influence. Can I say that to you? God wants you, no matter who you are, wherever you're at, and whatever you're doing, he wants you to influence those around you. It can be with a smile. It can be with a handshake. It can be with a, but there's an influence that will flow from you because it's God living in you, moving out upon those that are around you. And it's a beautiful thing because God is desiring to touch the earth. I mean, say amen. God is desiring to build this kingdom that we've been asking for, where Jesus said, pray it this way, but thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I believe, I have a sense that we are closer than we've ever imagined. There are more Christians on the earth today all around the globe filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, praying in tongues. Yeah, speaking in tongues. Because the word of God, what we read earlier, that is the refresher. Stammering lips and another tongue while I speak to these people. This is the rest and it's the refreshing. It's when you allow God to speak through you. Well, you've got no idea what he's saying, but yet this peace comes on you. Does that ever happen to you? When I'm praying in tongues, sometimes this peace comes all over me. Because I'm going to tell you folks, hey, pastoring a church can be a lot of fun. Yeah. Pastor David, which is my pastor, Pastor David Swift, he's over Henry. Pastor in a church can be brutal. I go, brutal? What's that mean? 95-98% of it's beautiful. But then you got this 5-2%, it's brutal. And my wife and I have found that out. It can be tough. But yet it's what God has given us to do. We see people come and go for reasons, all sorts of reasons. But it's okay. We have to maintain what he's given us. That's the maintenance part. We have to maintain it. We'll maintain the house. We'll maintain whatever we can. If you guys like the yard looks a little cleaner today than what it last. We're maintaining that. We're trying to maintain this house because God has given us the house. It's not our house. It's your house. Amen? How many say amen? It belongs to all of you. Somebody the other day told me, say, hey, we would like to become members. God told me not to corral his people. How many say amen? Amen? He said, do not corral my people. Membership can corral people. Do you know that? Well, you're a member of my church. What are you doing over there? We don't do that here. You want to go visit another church? Praise God. If God sends you someplace else, praise God. We have to, Rosie and I, we have to trust God that God knows what he's doing. Amen? Hallelujah. We just have to maintain what he's given us. What he's given us. Hallelujah. Yeah, Daniel was very influential. And I just want to talk to you folks. I want to talk to you about who you are. See, God is promoting you. That might sound a little bit, well, I don't know, but God is promoting you. Even in the things you're going through right now, whether it be hard or joyful, God is promoting. The hard times I have found are the times when I've gone to God and he's taught me the best lessons. I've heard things that I never thought I would hear because he began to speak to my heart because my heart was hurting. When you're needing something, God is there. We heard that all this morning. Let me read this. Let me just. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The king is alive. You see, your king, the one that watches over you, he's alive and he's promoting you. You might not like it. You might not like what you're going through right now today, but no, nevertheless, God's saying, I'm promoting you. Don't just hold on. Hold on. Daniel could have been so, God, why did you let me do that? Why would you let them rise up against me and throw me in a lion's den, God? What did Daniel do? He didn't worry about what was going on around him. Never look at the world and what's going on around it. Affect who you are in Christ. Amen. Can I say that to you? People will look at the world and the events and their focus is wrong. if you're a Christian. You don't focus on what's going on the earth. You focus on what the kingdom of God is doing and what God is saying to you. That's where your focus lies. That's where your joy lies. That's where your peace lies. And that's where you will find that God is in control of your life, of everything around you. Oh, the earth is getting worse and worse. Well, praise God. God is seasoning the earth for his return. Is that okay? He's seasoning it. He's seasoning it. Let's let a little this happen, a little that happen. They will be calling for me. Amen? Hallelujah. God, do something, God. Amen? You ever done that in your living room? God, what are you doing? I'm helping you. No, you're not. Yeah. No, you're not. I'm helping you. Daniel could have said that. But think about it. He was very calm. He went, opened his curtains, and he prayed. Who was shook up about it? The king. He was the one that was shook up. Amen? He was the one saying, hey, he labored till the evening to deliver Daniel. Couldn't do it. He was working hard. And when he put Daniel, when he went ahead and they put Daniel in the lion's den, remember, the Bible said that he fasted. Who's worried? I don't think Daniel was worried. God had somebody else out there worried for him. Amen? He fasted. Before Daniel went into the den, the king prophesied to him. That king prophesied, said, the God who you serve continually, he's going to deliver you, Daniel. He prophesied to him. Then he went and fasted. Then when they brought out the music to have, you know, get out of here. Get that out of here. I don't want to hear it. This king was, man, he was lamenting for what he had done. He didn't eat. He didn't have any music. Didn't turn on his Doobie Brothers. And he didn't sleep, the Bible says. He couldn't even sleep. You see, God's got somebody else building you and strengthening you somewhere, praying for you. When you're going through things, you might not know it. You might not. God knows what you're going through, and God can have somebody praying for you, praying prayers that will strengthen you and build you. So you're on a road to promotion. No matter who you are, where you're at, and what's going on in your life, you are being promoted. You are the child of God. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, verse 23 says this. The hour comes and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen? For the Father seeks such to worship him. I tell you, if you're going through something, worship God. Whatever you're going through, worship God. You've only got one out. Can I say that? You know, I would tell you that there is something out there that doesn't want you to hear this, but when you're going through things, worship God. Go to him, take time, fall on your knees. Whatever, however you do it, take a drive in your car and worship God. Put on some music and worship God. God breaks things in the worship. Amen. The Bible has taught us a lot about that. The Paul in the Philippian jail, they worshiped God and the jail broke open and let them out. God does things in worship. So don't forget how much he wanted to promote you. Worship him, and you'll find your answers will start coming in little by little. He's not going to let you fail. Is that okay? There used to be a song that goes that he didn't bring us this far to leave us. Amen. You guys remember that song? He didn't bring us this to let us fall. He's going to bring you through it. You're in better shape than you think you are. How many say amen to that? If you just hold on to his hands, you're going to find that God is very faithful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So remember, promotion, maintenance. Remember those two. He's trying to promote you and he's trying to maintain you. He's going to maintain you. Because he wants you to be an influence. He wants you to influence the world. Is that okay? Amen. This is what we're here to do, guys. We're here to influence the earth. Hallelujah. They don't know, but they're looking to us for answers. Do you know that? They're looking at us for answers. They think we don't know what we're doing. But I'm like, tell you something. We don't know what we're doing. Praise God. We're just worshiping God, and God is doing all the stuff that we need to be doing. How many say amen to that? Amen. Stand up and let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I'm praying, Father, that you would touch not only our city, but Father God, all the people that live here. Father, that you would, by your spirit, touch them. Father, you told me, Father God, you had me prophesy to this house, Lord. You said, out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. And then you said, Father, that out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, bringing rivers of living water to those inhabitants of the city. Father, I'm praying for these folks right here. God, that you would just place the water, that whatever is causing the water to not flow, that you would remove that, Father, and let that thing just begin to flow, Father. As they're in our city, as they're around folks that don't know you, Father, let rivers of life, Father, flow out of them. Father, I thank you for it. Thank you for what you're doing in the earth today, Father. The city is ours. The earth is ours, Father God, and we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Do you agree? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.